Hi, Hope City. Welcome back to our conversations about racial tension. And I'm just excited that we are having these conversations, that they're happening. And I got with us today my good friend, Carlos Andrews, and good to have you back. We already had a discussion going down, and it was great.
Thanks, Pastor Phil.
We actually didn't change our clothes from the last time, so it's all good, right? But just would love to hear a little bit more. You gave us so much to think about, so much to chew on, and yeah. I think a lot of times, I'm just going to be honest with you here, a lot of white people say, well, give me a story. Give me a time when something happened in your life, or talk to me about, you know, how you experience racism. And we've talked about this on a personal level, but yeah. I would love for you to share just your answer with, you know, how you see that and yeah, just unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, it is a very common question. You know, hey, Carlos, tell me about a time when.
Right.
Or give me a good example of.
Right.
But what I try and do is redirect people's attention, and it's always white people who ask that question.
Right, so, I remember you telling me that. Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, I've never been asked by a black person to tell them about a time when I've had trouble with my race.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So what I try and do is redirect the attention of people to not so much the story. I mean, let's be honest, there don't need to be any more stories told
sure.
about racism. And my story may be more or less dramatic than somebody else's story. The goal shouldn't be necessarily to be hooked or inspired by a horrific story. I think if a person is looking to educate themselves in order to be a very, very strong ally, there's enough going on that a black person doesn't need to be burdened with unpacking their history for white people in order for them to learn from it.
Yeah.
In fact, it's so I'll give you.
So are you saying it's hard to go there?
Two things. I'm saying two things.
It's okay.
For sure. In terms of psychological safety,
yeah.
There are people that just will not go back to the stories of, you know, seeing my mother in such and such situation,
sure,
or
sure.
having my father crying in the living room because of, or like, these are things that are very, very psychologically unsafe for people to unpack.
Right.
So it's not right to ask them to unpack that.
Hmm.
But almost more importantly, I try and encourage or push white people to, again, as I talked about, grabbing a piece of education themselves. Remember, it is black people that are the marginalized group. So it seems a little bit awkward to ask them what their stories of sort of being marginalized by the white person's hand are. So here, let me give you maybe a clearer example. If you have a friend and you abuse your power over that friend, and you recognize the power abuse that you've done, and you come back together and you say to that friend, I know I've abused my power. I've done X, Y, and Z. Tell me what I can do to make it right. Well, that statement would probably be seen as more authentic if that person said, I know I did this. Here's what I'm going to do to make it right.
Okay.
And it's so important, let's be honest, Phil, for white people to be fluent in cultural competency, to be able to understand where they are with respect to, you know, the supremacy of the white race, or the perceived supremacy of the white race, or understand the language. A lot of us were thrust into this teaching mode over the last few months, and so I sit down with my son, and he says, "Dad, you know, you got to help me with this question," and I'm proud because he thinks I can.
Yeah.
Help him with this math question.
And then
question.
You Google it, and then you're like, yeah, I know the answer.
Well, I know. So this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you sit down and you say, okay, well, but Hudson, what's this shape here? And he says, well, that's a quadrilateral. And you're like, well, I thought triangles only had three. Like, so without, in no time, he understands.
Right.
It's very clear to him that I don't
Daddy,
know.
Daddy, get a help.
I don't know the terms.
Shoot.
I don't recognize the signs.
Right.
So what would be better is if, so, you know, I know we're working on GMOs. So the assignment is genetically modified organism. So if I know my daughter's going to be asking me about that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to my books and I'm going to review meiosis and mitosis. And I'm going to say, hey, Crystal, do you remember doing any of this stuff?
Right.
And she's going to sing the jingle. And then I'll go back to Divya and I'll be able to help her because I know the terms. I'm fluent in, like, see what I'm saying?
I think
white people need to do that. I don't think white people should be saying, can you tell me what I've done that's wrong? Give me examples of how terrible your history is so that I can better help you. I think, pardon me, authentically, it would be much more relevant, pertinent, powerful if white people were able to use education to do a better job of being an ally.
So I was going to build on that and said, what you're really implying here, Carlos, is to say, educate yourself. Move into learning. Move into really figuring out what it is and how it is that you can help. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I think you need to do three things.
Yeah.
You talked about this in the communion speech where you said, I had a moment of introspection when you were in Alabama. I think you were at the museum. I don't know if it was the Legacy Museum or the...
It was the Martin Luther King.
The Martin Luther King Museum. Okay, so there you sat for a moment, and all white people, I would suggest, have this moment where you do ask yourself those questions of race and racism.
Right.
So you do some introspection. That's where you look in the mirror and you become comfortable with who you are and where you are with respect to it.
Step one.
Step one.
Yeah.
Step two is, like we just talked about, educate yourself.
Right.
You have to do the work. And one of the privileges, if I can go back to white privilege, is that so much of white history is readily available in our school books and in libraries and everywhere.
Sure.
Have to dig a little bit for the black history. So acknowledge that. Do the work to find the black history. And by the way, it's not that hard anymore, right? And then the third thing.
Have you heard of the internet?
Yeah, no kidding. Okay. So I guess that there are really not many excuses to say that support the idea that it's difficult to get the details. And then the last thing is, indeed, we have to act. And sometimes that action as white people might be sitting around with white people talking about, as white people, what can white people do? Or depending on, again, where what your social circles or your professional circles are, thinking of and finding ways to catalyze the things that you learned in step one and in step two.
That's good. I think a lot of us really want to see progress.
Hmm.
I actually think a lot of us want to see change. Like, no one's happy with some of the things we see happening in society. And when I say no one, I mean general public, my friends, Christ followers, our church. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone just sits back and goes, meh, oh well. I think there's an honest tension in all of us that goes, okay, I see this. I'm learning of this more than I thought. I'm recognizing this. I want to do something. I'm just not sure what. Or I'm just not sure how. And so that gives some practical, at least three-step process of saying, okay, start here and then work towards that. That's for sure.
Yeah, I said it in the last episode, you know, it's going to look different for every person.
Yeah, I know.
Because your walks are different. You have different influences. You have different superpowers. And so I can't.
You have superpowers?
Well, no, you have superpowers.
I'm like, wow.
Everybody has, there are superpowers. We've all been given these unique strengths and traits for the unique places that we are, and they are equivalent to superpowers because nobody else can do it.
Sure, sure.
So people have to find those things, do the work to find those things, and it doesn't need to be hard work. I mean, it is going to be hard work, but it's as simple as being open. That first step where you do the introspection suggests, I'm looking for ways to move this thing forward and to be an active member of the change that we hope to see.
Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah.
I appreciate just you lots know that. And just even hearing your heart here, I think what I love is I know your heart in general, right? And so being able to hear your heart in this topic just is so helpful and real. I want to challenge you, our church, just with this simple question. You've watched this, you've listened. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking, and I believe that he can challenge you. And here's the deal, listen. But don't just listen, respond. May you be used by God in this dilemma, in this challenge, in this reality of racial tension, and may the Holy Spirit speak to you.